Thank you. Praise God. Praise God. We thank God for His mercies and for His grace and for the Word of God, what God is doing. And we realize that we're living in the last days when Jesus Christ will return to establish His kingdom upon the earth. I mean, this is how important the kingdom is, because in Acts, the first chapter of the book of Acts, I think it's verse 5, if you will just help me right there, in Acts the first, Jesus was going back to returning to His Father, and the disciples were with Him. They went as far as the Mount of Olives, right? And there in Acts chapter 1, in verse, you can start, let me just read from verse 1, all right? Sometimes it's, the former treaties have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus begun, right? He begun, so it's still continuing. It's a continuous work, because He said to Peter, I give unto you the keys to the kingdom of God. So Jesus begun both to do, notice, he to do and to teach until His ministry on earth was finished in visible forms. But until the day in the which He was taken up, I mean, He went back to His Father. After that, He, through the Holy Ghost or Holy Spirit, had given commandments unto the apostles whom He had chosen. Verse 3, to whom also He showed Himself alive after His passion, His crucifixion, by many infallible proofs, being seen of them, how many days? 40 days, and speaking, notice, I want you to get it, and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. Now, if Jesus did it, what should we be preaching? If these were some of the last words that Jesus gave on His way back to the Father, and He preached it and He showed by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days and speaking, preaching, teaching the things. All right, so that's important. The things pertaining to the kingdom of God. That's what He focused on. So when a church is not focused on that, they're off. I don't care what we preach, how good it sounds, what promises we make to the people, how we tell them they need to be good and better and more successful. That is not what Jesus was preaching. All right? So we need to find out what Jesus was preaching. Now, in the mouth of two or three witnesses, let every word be established. So we want another proof. So we go to Acts, the 28th chapter. And I'll come back there. But in Acts, the 28th chapter, verse 31. We've used that scripture before, over and over. And in Acts, the 28th chapter, verse 31. And Paul, you get that? Dwelt 2 whole years 2 years appeared, 2 whole years, in his own hired house. I mean, he was paying rent. He paid his bills. And received all that came in unto him. They were coming in, guards changed, but people would have, that was where his church would be. But look at what his message was. Preaching the kingdom of God. What did Jesus preach and teach? Now what, coming up to their last days of their life, what was Paul preaching? Preaching the kingdom of God and the teaching. Preaching and teaching and those things which concerning the Lord Jesus Christ. With all confidence. Hallelujah. He didn't have to worry if he was right. Was the message right? He did not have to call up anybody and find out, am I right? Is this the message for this hour? Am I preaching in due season that right message? Because blessed is that servant that when his Lord return, we'll find him preaching and giving meat, M-E-A-T, food, in due season. Now, Paul, on his way out, just like Jesus, on his way out, was preaching the kingdom of God and teaching those things which concerning the Lord Jesus Christ with all confidence, no man forbidding him, because they could not contradict this because the word was right. Now, if Paul could preach it, and he's an example of the apostle, really the apostle that was sent to the Gentiles. Paul was sent to the Gentiles in Acts, the 26th chapter. If you look there, in Acts, the 26th chapter. Turn your Bibles back there and let me go down. When God sent him to, he was standing before, who was it? King Agrippa. Verse 6. And now I stand and I'm judged for the hope. I want you to get that. For the hope. Verse 6. And now I stand and I'm judged for the hope of the promise made of God unto our fathers. The hope of the promise God made. And Paul said, that's why I'm being judged. Verse 7. Unto which promise our 12 tribes instantly serving God day and night hope to come. For which hope, say King Agrippa, I am accused of the Jews. Then he goes on. Here's the hope. I mean, God promised Abraham a seed, a nation. But what good would it be if Abraham died and did not receive the promise? But the promise was made to the fathers. And Paul said, I have hope in it. In other words, I believe God. What God promised, God is able to fulfill it. And why should it be thought a thing incredible with you? What an argument. That God should raise the dead. Why should it be a thing incredible? This is my hope. And that should be your hope. Hope that God is able to raise you up from the dead. Because if in this life only we have hope in God, if this was all there is, we would be among most miserable. You got every right to be miserable. You walk around in your house and toss the dishes and do everything you want to do. Break them. Get mad. Don't do it, but do it. Because if this is all there is to it, and there's nothing else, and if this is all that you're living for and nothing else, you've got every right to be miserable. Amen. Let your wife or your husband run away and your kids run away from you. Because there's nothing else. What Paul is trying to show you, he says that this life can be very miserable. Money and all that doesn't count. It's only the hope in God, the hope in Jesus Christ. Verse 8, go back there, says, why should it be taught a thing incredible with you that God should raise the dead? Verse 9, I verily thought with myself, Paul said, just like how you are feeling, I felt the same way. I wanted to do a lot of things contrary to Jesus Christ. I've already thought myself that I ought to do many things contrary to the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Which things, read on. I also did in Jerusalem. And many of the saints, look at, he said, I did all of that. I shut up many saints in prison, having received authority from the chief priests, and when they were put to death, right? See that? I just watched them die. I gave my voice against them. Said I was not on their side. Paul is saying, look, I was a terrible man, but my hope was in Christ. Verse 11 says, and I punish them oft in every synagogue and compel them to blaspheme, and being exceeding mad against them. You think you're mad and you're upset? Try Paul. You might be mad against a person, but Paul was mad even against Jesus. And guess what? It couldn't stop the church. It could not stop the church. Said, I was mad, and God picked up the chiefest of sinners, me, and turned me around and made me become the chiefest of apostles to the Gentiles. What a hope and what a God. Now, he's proving to show you how great God is, because one of the greatest things that can happen is to raise the dead. It's beyond human. But Jesus can do it. And he's the only one who can do it. And he said, I am the resurrection and the life. He said, even though you're dead, yet you'll live. Praise God. Because death cannot stay or survive in the presence of God. Then he goes on, compel them to blaspheme, and being exceeding mad against them, I persecuted them even into strange cities. Whereupon, as I went to Damascus with authority and commission from the chief priest, at midday, O king, I saw in the way a light. Hello, from where? A light. This is the same light that you need to penetrate your mind. This is the same light. The path of the just is as a shining light. The same light that Paul saw that penetrated his heart, his mind, his thoughts. That's the same light. The entrance of thy word giveth light. Christ is the word, shining round about me and them which journey with me. And when we were all fallen to the earth, bear in mind these scriptures, I heard a voice speaking unto me, saying in the Hebrew tongue, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? It is hard for thee to kick against the prick. I mean, Saul, you're kicking, but you're not going to destroy this church. Because Jesus already said, upon this rock, are you listening now? Will I build my church? You see, the church does not stand because you and I support it. The church stands because of the word of God. And if God be for us, who can be against us? Hallelujah. And I said, who art thou? Notice, Lord. And he said, I am Jesus. Wow. I am Jesus. Have you ever going to your own plans, have your own, you work out your plans, you're going to do it your way, and suddenly there comes a voice. And you know that was God. Change your plans. Deliver you. Make a new person out of you. Who are you, Lord? That's a good question. Because if you begin to find out who he is, and ever arrive at the knowledge of who he is, oh, that I might know him. Who are you, Lord? And after all the years, he was still crying out, oh, that I might know him. And the power of his resurrection. He's the same messages that he was declaring, the hope, he was still searching for more. Because no one ever arrived. Next verse. I want to go on down. But rise and stand upon thy feet. And God was going to send him to the Gentiles, right? Then go down to, for time, go down to verse, is it, where am I? Go down to verse 18, 19. No, notice what he was sent to do. To open their eyes. Well, you mean that they were all out there blind? Yes, spiritually. Go up back to verse 16. I think I better not miss this. But rise and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose. God give every one of you a ministry for this purpose. And you make sure you fulfill it. Same verse. For this purpose. I'm there. That's where I am. 16. Go back to 16. For this purpose. To make thee a minister and a witness both of these things which thou hast seen. Present. But there's more to come. And of those things in the which I will appear unto thee. That's what you call growing in grace. And in the knowledge. Don't just stop at, well, I accept Jesus as my Savior. I found him as my Lord. But continue. But rise and delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles unto whom now I send. He said, I deliver you, but I'm sending you back. To open their eyes. Notice we were there. To what? You need a ministry to pop, not these, but the eyes of your mind. Of your understanding so you can see the word of God and hear the word of God. Opening your ear because you sit there for years, but you don't hear. You go outside and you don't remember what was said. Because it's stony ground. But we need to get all the stones out. We need to get our eyes open, our ears unplugged. Hallelujah. So you can hear the message and it will be in your heart forever. To open their eyes, and notice, they were going one way in darkness, the first Adam, but to turn them now to light, the last Adam. Turning them. From what? Turning them from darkness to light. Otherwise, they will continue walking in darkness because men love darkness rather than light. Because of our evil deeds. To turn them from darkness, notice the word darkness, to light. And from the power of Satan, what? The power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and an inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. Hold on there, we'll come back there. But go to Colossians chapter 1. Go to Colossians chapter 1, starting about verse 12, going on down. Let's get that. Somebody read that for me. Giving thanks unto the Father. That's the God the Father. Have you ever done that? That's the first thing you should do every day. Instead of asking him for something. Or telling him about your neighbor you don't like. Giving thanks to God. Unto the Father. Which, notice, had made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance. You remember this word, same word, inheritance? What Paul was sent to the Gentiles to turn them from darkness to light, from the power of Satan, so they might receive an inheritance. There it is. To receive an inheritance, you've got to be set free from the power of the devil. The word of God, the spirit of God must break you loose. The chains has to be broken. The chains of Satan bondage. In other words, you got to get out of Satan's world, his realm. In the world, but not of the world. Because we are kingdom children. Children of the kingdom. Amen. Now, you need to follow me. Giving thanks unto the Father, which have made us meet to be partakers of that inheritance. Underline that, of the saints, this powerful. Notice, read it over quickly. Of the saints in light. There are saints that are ready in light. They made it. I fought a good fight, finished my course, ready to be offered up. There are saints that have gone on to light. God is light. He is light. Saints in light. No more in darkness. But look what's going on with us now. He is delivering us from darkness. So we will join the saints in light with their inheritance. You see, it's not just going to heaven and getting a mansion up there, whatever it might be. God's got a whole lot more for you than just some little houses. You are to be delivered from the image of the devil to the very image of God, where you are a son of God, where like him. Like David said, I will only be satisfied when I awake with thy likeness. The very image of God. Who had delivered us from the power of darkness. Acts 26, we're going to go back there. And translated us into the kingdom of his dear son. Hold on. When Paul was getting ready to die, what were some of his last message? He preached to them the kingdom of God or the kingdom of the dear son of God. Am I right? Oh, you ought to be shouting. You ought to be saying praise the Lord. Come on, you ought to at least have a little life. Look what he did. Deliver you. And then translate you. Do you know what it means when you're translating? Enoch walked with God and he was not. God took him. He was translated into the kingdom of God. And here you sit. But you're in the world, but translated with the mind of God. With the mind of the Spirit. With the very Holy Ghost. Because once the Holy Ghost get a hold of you, the Holy Ghost's responsibility is to bring many sons unto glory. So the scripture says, draw me. From what? Away from darkness. Away from the powers of the devil. Break it. Draw me. Pull me. Anything, God, just to get me away. So what's Christianity? What's life? Life is to deliver you from what you were born in. In other words, you got to change that garment, that suit. It's called a filthy garment. And put on a new one. The garments of praise. Hallelujah. That new garment. So you go ahead and sit down in the same old Adamic. No. Yeah, that's not the way it works. Well, God will have mercy. Poor me, no my trouble. That's not the way it works. Get out into joy. Come on. Get out into gladness. Put on joy and gladness. And weeping may endure for a night. We are right now in the nighttime, but joy. Woo! Hallelujah. But joy cometh in the morning. That's the morning of the Lord's day. And the scripture said that we're children of the light, not of the light, not of the darkness. In other words, we're children of the day, not of the night. The scripture also said, the night is far spent. The day is at hand. That darkness is about to be over. It's almost gone. The darkness is past and the true light now shines. It's almost over. And it's going to be our day. He delivered us, didn't he? Next verse. In whom? Come on. In whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sin. No, I need to skip back to Acts now, quickly. Go back to Acts 26. Are you with me? Where was I? Verse 18? Did we deal with it in there to open their eyes? We had that before, right? To open their eyes, what eyes? The eyes of your understanding that you may know to have the knowledge of God. To open it. It takes the Spirit. It takes a word. And once you begin to get your mind and your eyes open, you walk straight. But if you're floundering and you don't have that zeal, you know something is wrong. You know something is wrong. You got a lot of cloud over it. But now you need a message from the Word of God so the light will shine. And in your heart, you will say, yes, I love God. But when we can't even say no to sin, and then we cover it with a garment of lies and spin. It's called the filthy garment. You got to change that one. Because you got to get to where men love the light rather than love darkness. But if we love darkness more than light, more than truth, God is light. And we're going to God. It's a city of light. So the darkness is past. We need to change it. Oh, by the entrance of thy word. And thy word is like a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. So he said, to open their eyes. That's what we're trying to do. That you put away all of that filthy garments, all of that tricky that you have. You hold on to it. You don't even know his tricks. You're not faithful. You don't love God enough to give that up. You want to carry them both. You can't. No man can serve two masters. You're going to love one and hate the other one. So you got to cast off the works of the flesh and put on Christ. Be clothed with the garments of praise and righteousness. And you pray, hide and seek and spin God. Think God don't know. That itself is a deception. And the devil fools you. Because he knows what is in the dark. He knows our thoughts. He knows how we're thinking. And we've got to get rid of those things. Unless we do, they'll haunt you now and forevermore. Because even after the final resurrection, they'll come back up again. So the only way out is the blood. There's no other way. Even if you try to change to be a good person and do better, There's no other way. Because can the Ethiopian change his skin on the leprosy spot? No. No. And it's not by righteousness which we have done our works, but it's according to his mercy. He saves us by the washing. You got to wash. Regenerate means he make you over. A new creature. That's what the second Adam does. He makes a new creature out of you. He don't repair you. Come on. He doesn't repair you, but he make a new creature over you. A brand new person. And he puts you in Christ. Open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light. We've had that in Colossians. We broke it. Did you hear me? And from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins, then an inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me, that is in Christ. Whereupon, O King Agrippa, I was not disobedient unto the heavenly vision. Next verse. But show first unto them of Damascus, Jerusalem, and throughout all the coast of Judea, and then to the Gentiles, that they should, repent. That's what I'm saying today. That they should repent. No way without repentance. It doesn't matter where you go, what coast you go to, what city you go to. It doesn't matter where you move. It doesn't matter where you commit that sin and go to another sin. You still have to repent. Your sins follow you. And the only way you can get rid of it is to repent. Fall at the cross. Let the blood of Jesus, my come on. Hallelujah. Let the blood of Jesus Christ cleanse you from all your sins. What can wash you? Whiter than snow. Nothing but the blood. Don't try to do good work and adjust. You've got to. You can't clap away. You can't praise it away. You've got to repent. It says the only way is that they should repent and turn to God. Not just repent, but you got to turn to God. Are you turning to God? Are you repenting and turning to God? You repent, but you stay same way in our sins. But we have to turn to God and do works meet for repentance. And then people begin to see in us the character of God. What's the character of God? Galatians 5. The fruits of the Spirit. That's the character of God. Who God is, His nature. And when the first part of it is the first Adam nature, your nature and mine. But the next, Galatians 5, read it to see the works of the flesh. And all those 17 works, that's us. Amen. That's us. All those parts will fit us. Amen. You say, but I'm only guilty of what? It's all guilt. It's all poison. But thank God. Thank God. Are you with me? But God, who is rich in mercy for his great love, wherein he loved us, even when we were dead in sin. Look what God did. Came that he might work his very nature in us. What did he give? The fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, and so on. God works his nature in you. And we who were sometimes darkness, look at us. We are lights in the Lord. You're changing. God came and dug us out of a horrible pit. There's a time that we go on, we had no fear for God or man. We could do wrongs and smile. It didn't bother us. What a nature we had. God, that has to be crucified. All of that has to die before we leave or before Christ returns. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. What's the will of God? That mankind is going to turn and be found in him. That's what you want to awaken to be found in him, not having my righteousness, Paul said. You understand? You wake and you discover yourself. My God, I'm him, Christ. A new nature. For these causes, the Jews caught me in the temple and went about to kill me. Having therefore obtained help of God, that's what we need, help, contain help, I continue unto this day witnessing both to small, that's what I'm doing, little, cute, small, great, saying none other things than those which the prophets and Moses said should come to pass. Stay in the Bible. Next verse. That what? That Christ should suffer. Notice, it was in the prophet and Moses and the prophet that Christ should suffer and that he should be one. Notice, number one, the first that should rise from the dead. That's a shout right there. He would be the first fruit that suffer. First fruits of them that slept. Yeah. All right, here's what. He's the first one that Christ should suffer. He did on Calvary. And that he should be the first that should rise from the dead. You say, that Lazarus rose first on the widow's son. No, but they died. But once he died, he rose for live forever. I am he that was dead, but I'm alive forevermore. And I've got the keys of dead and hell. And should show light unto the people. What was Paul going to show them? Light. So what was he bringing? Even the last part of his message, what was he doing? He is showing light, and that light is Jesus. I'm showing you the light of the world is Jesus. I'm showing you the gospel. If you can let it touch your heart. Everybody in this church should be on fire. After all these messages. But you're going to pay for it. You'll have to give an account. Yeah. Said I don't. God's no respect to a person, my friend. And we get to where we're just stuck up in our little selves, and we feel so important. No, you're not. You think so. And that's a deception, but you're not important. You're not that important. Nobody step on my toes. Well, you put your foot out long enough, far enough, you find out. I'll step on your toes. Well, I'll get upset. Praise the Lord. We got the message to cast out demons, don't we? Amen, we do. I'll give you power over all the powers of the congregation. Amen. Amen. All the powers of the enemy. Whatever you bind, someone says you got to bind them. They come with that spirit. You just bind them. Rebuke that spirit in Jesus' name. Don't compromise with it. Don't compromise with the devil. Amen. Don't take side with the devil. Don't go easy with the devil. A devil, a liar, don't compromise that. A deceiver. Pretender. You know, it's like you pretend like you're doing it. Like somebody said, you pass the, I'm just using that. I'm not begging your money. But you pass the offering bucket and they look like they're writing a check. But check it afterwards. Or look like they're giving. They would not even put what they're giving in an envelope. They themselves are embarrassed. So they look and drop it in the offering, maybe a dollar if you're lucky. Who do you think you're fooling? Come on now. To an inheritance. Oh, I'm going to get my inheritance and you don't even want to do nothing for God down here? Hey, come on. You don't want to do nothing at all for God and you have an inheritance up there? What you sow, you reap. Store up treasure in heaven. You don't store up nothing, there's nothing for you. Don't lay your treasure up on earth. But where are you heading anyway? Well, I'm heading for heaven. But you won't even send on some good works. fruits of the Spirit, the nature of God. More blessed to give than to take it. I like to take it. I smile when I get something, but I don't smile when I have to give. It should be the other way around. Otherwise, you know, come on. Let me begin to wind this down. That Christ should suffer and that he should be, number one, the first that should rise from the dead. All right. The first of a new creation. He's only the first one. It's called the firstborn. The firstborn of many brethren. In other words, he's number one, the firstborn of a new race. How did that happen? When the first race died, in Adam all died, God could have spoke us all out of existence and do away with it and start all over again. But he didn't do that. Why? Because mercy. Mercy reached down for us. His love, his compassion. And he heard the cry of the prisoners. So we are prisoners of hope. The devil had us bound in prison. But he heard the cry. Hallelujah. And so he came down. But the only way he could deliver us, he had to, listen, we couldn't go to him. Let us make man in our own image. But we could not go to him. So he had to come to us in the person of his son, Jesus Christ. We couldn't go. But he came. He came from the glory. The Son of God came down and became one of us. He came among us and was made in the likeness of what? Of man. Sinful flesh. Man in our likeness, in our image. Because the purpose of God, so that we would be made in the image of God. But we could not go the way it started in Genesis chapter 1. We failed. In Adam, the first Adam. Because Jesus Christ is the only true image of God. This is my beloved son. My only beloved son. The grain of corn had to fall in the ground and die. Then it brought forth many grains or many sons to glory. So Christ came to bring many sons to glory. But he had to die. He suffered. And that he should die, be the first that should rise from the dead and should show light unto the people that the light is the way to God. The way to God. And to the Gentiles. And as he thus spake for himself, Festus, with a loud voice. He couldn't tell the difference of conviction or whatever confusion, whatever. He cried out. With a loud voice, Paul, thou art beside thyself. That means he's mad. Much learning do it make thee mad. But Paul was the only sober one in there. It's like you think the preacher is mad. Is he sometimes the only sober one in church? Because he has a rod and he has a staff. But he said, I am not mad. Come on. I'm not mad. I'm not confused. I know, most noble Festus. But speak forth the words of truth and soberness. What is the kingdom? The message. Truth and soberness. For the king knoweth of these things, before whom also I speak freely. For I am persuaded that none of these things are hidden from him. For this thing was not done in a corner. It was up there on the hill called Mount Calvary. King Agrippa, hold on, everybody look at me. Like, what if I look at you and I call your name? And I say, do you believe? Do you believe the prophets? Oh yeah. Then how come you act like that? Put your name right there. And just make believe that I'm calling you. King Agrippa. Believest thou the prophets? I'm waiting for an answer. Do you believe the prophets? Do you believe the word of God? So why are you like that? I know that thou believest. Then Agrippa said unto Paul, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. It's like, you know, a woman said, I almost got pregnant. You're pregnant or you're not pregnant? I almost got. I almost have a baby. I'm just using that to show you. Almost. You either convinced or you're not. Pregnant or you're not. I've used that to show you. Almost got pregnant. No, it didn't work like that. Almost you convinced me to be a Christian. You almost convinced me to clean the lights and to clean the church and to clean the windows. You almost convinced me, Pastor, to sing a song, to testify, almost to change. There's no in between. Well, you know, almost. But don't worry about it. You'll get it right later on. No. Paul said, next verse, is it? Or the same one? Paul said, I would to God. Then Paul said, I would to God that not only thou, but also all that hear me today in this church right now were both. Notice two things you need. Both almost. All right, almost. So we got to the church. You almost came. But thank God you're here. Almost. You almost come. What a crazy world. I almost serve God. Lord, I almost make the changes in my life. I almost accepted Jesus as my Savior, but something convinced me so I didn't do it. Almost repent of my sins. I almost forgive my neighbors for the wrong they did me. But, you know, something held me back, but I almost got the victory. I almost surrendered to God. I came so close. But something got in the way. Something came up, brother. I was almost coming to church. Almost doing good. Almost believe. Almost. What Paul said, I would to God you were both almost and altogether convinced, convicted, make up in your mind to do right.
Right, amen.
Almost. And all, notice, and altogether give it up. Make the changes. Put off the first man, the whole man, the whole, put it off, not almost. I almost got dressed. Come on. Yes. Almost wore another suit to church, but you didn't. Almost don't get you nowhere. It's got to be almost and all together. Yes. Fully persuaded. Yes. Almost and all together, such as I am. Say, Paul, look at me. I'm not in between. I'm not straddling the fence. I'm not there, you know. I'm altogether convinced that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, and that the kingdom of God is coming to the earth. I'm altogether convinced that He's the way, He's the truth, He's the life. I'm altogether convinced that I'm going to serve God. And if I perish, I perish. But I'm altogether convinced. So don't try to make me leave. Because where you go, I will go. Where you live, I will live. The God you serve, I will serve Him. Where you die, I will die. Until death we part. I'm altogether convinced. Somebody shout. And Paul said, accept these chains. And when he had thus spoken, the king rose up, and the governor, and Bernice, and they that sat with him, with them. And when they were gone aside, they talked between themselves and saying, this man doeth nothing worthy of debt or of bonds. That's what when you serve God, but you'll be persecuted, you put in bond, but you're still innocent. Is that all? Then in closing, then said Agrippa to Festus, this man might have been set at liberty if he had not appealed unto Caesar. But Paul was free. He was free. That's what he just told them. He said, I'm free. I'm free. Huh? I'm free. Yeah. See, a man of God is never bound by the actions of the congregation. Woo, you ought to write that down. He said, but it's only because if he doesn't have faith, I'm heading into a lesson. Because you ought to see what faith will do for you. Then, is that it? Okay. Well, praise the Lord. I think I worked for my money, didn't I?